Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Yashashree, the moderator for this conference. Welcome to the conference call of Garden Reach Shipbuilders and Engineers Limited, arranged by Concept Investor Relations, to discuss its second quarter and half year ended 30th September 2022 results. We have with us today Commodore P. R. Hari, Indian Navy retired, Chairman and Managing Director, and Shri R. K. Dash, Director of Finance and CFO. At this moment, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Please note, this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Commodore P. R. Hari, Chairman and Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashashree. Ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon to each one of you. I am Commodore P. R. Hari, the Chairman and Managing Director of Garden Reach Shipbuilders and Engineers, and I have here with me Sri Ramesh Kumar Das, the Director of Finance and CFO, and Mrs. Aparajita Ghosh, Finance Head, and Sri Sandeep Mahapatra, the Company Secretary. Let me welcome you all to this conference call to discuss the financial performance of the company for the second quarter and half year, 30th September 2022. I intend covering my talk under the following heads, that is the financials, the order book position, the execution plan for the current order book, and a brief glimpse on the future outlook. The half year ending 30th September, the financial performance have been very encouraging, with the revenue from operations moving up from 726 crores to 1,262 crores. That is an increase by 74% if one is comparing the half yearly performance of FY22 to FY23. When we compare the performance revenue from operations of Q1-23 to Q2-23, there has been an increase of 18%. The figures have gone up from 580 crores to 682 crores. Similarly, the total income half year to half year has gone up by 67% from 802 crores to 1,344 crores. EBITDA has gone up half year to half year from 125 crores to 163 crores. That is an increase of 31%. From Q1 of 23 to Q2 of financial year 23, in EBITDA, there has been an increase of 20%. That is from 74 crores to 89 crores. The PAT, profit after tax, half year to half year comparison, gone up by 37% from 79 crores to 109 crores. Q1 of FY23, the PAT was 50 crores, gone up by 17% to 59 crores. Earnings per share has gone from 6.93 to 9.51. That is 37% increase half year to half year. So on the whole, the financial performance has been satisfactory. And we are very confident of maintaining the tempo that we have generated during the first half of the financial year and carry it forward to the second half, and thereby give good financial performance during the current financial year. Coming to our order book position, as of 30th of September 2022, our order book stands at rupees 22,930 crores. This comprises of 7 shipbuilding projects totaling to 24 platforms, marine platforms. These include 3 projects for the Indian Navy, the P-17 Alpha project comprising of 3 ships, the anti-submarine shallow water craft project comprising of 8 ships, and a 4-ship survey vessel large project. So these three projects for the Indian Navy total to 15 warships. In addition, we are executing a project for the government of Guyana, a passenger come ocean going ferry vessel, and an order of the Indian Coast Guard for a fast patrol vessel. We are also executing a project for the government of Bangladesh for construction of 6 patrol boats and an order for the government of West Bengal for a next generation electric ferry. Shipbuilding comprises of a major chunk of our order book, that is nearly 97 to 97.5%, with the balance coming from the diversified segments of bailey bridges, deck machinery, diesel engines, and ship repairs. As far as the execution plan for the current projects, of the 7 projects, shipbuilding projects that we are executing currently, 2 of these projects we intend completing during the current financial year. That is the project being executed for the government of Guyana, that is the ocean-going passenger ferry vessel. The vessel as of now has reached around 75% of physical construction, and this project is planned to be completed during the last quarter of this financial year. Similarly, the fast patrol vessel being constructed for the Indian Coast Guard, we almost touched 81% of physical progress, and the ship is now in the trials phase. This ship is planned to be delivered again during the last quarter of the current financial year. As far as the other shipbuilding projects are concerned, let me first start with the P-17 Alpha project. As I had stated earlier, we are presently constructing 3 P-17 Alpha frigates for the Indian Navy. The first ship has already clocked around 43% of physical construction, the second ship around 35%, and the third ship around 16%. The progress of this ship is satisfactory, and as per the present build plan, the first of these ships is scheduled to be delivered during mid-2025, and the last ship during mid-2026. Now coming to the survey vessel large project, we are presently constructing 4 ships under this project, and the first ship, which was launched during end 2021, has already touched 65% of physical construction. The ship will be now moving into the trial phase, and this ship we plan to deliver during the first quarter of the next financial year. The second ship of the project has now achieved around 58% of physical construction, and that ship is likely to be delivered during the end of the next calendar year, that's the third quarter of FY24. The construction progress of the last 2 ships of this project is also satisfactory, with both the ships having achieved 38% and 14% respectively. Coming to the anti-submarine shallow water craft project, there are 8 ships in this project, and we have already started production of 5 of these ships. The first ship has achieved around 38% of construction, and this ship is scheduled to be launched. A launch in shipbuilding is a milestone event where the ship is put to water for the first time after the hull takes its complete form. So this particular ship of the ASW shallow water craft project is scheduled to be launched during the next month. Similarly, the second ship of the project has achieved around 23% progress, and the other ships are following their build schedule. As per the existing plan and our build strategy, these ships will be delivered by FY27. What I have just mentioned gives you an overview about the progress and the status of the ongoing shipbuilding projects. As you can see, the current order book of 22,933 crores will keep us steady with respect to workload up to FY27. Coming now to the orders on the anvil and the future output. As I had mentioned during one of the earlier con calls, GRSC has been declared L2 in an RFP floated by the Indian Navy for construction of 11 next generation ocean going patrol vessels. As per the tender conditions, the L1 bidder gets to build 7 vessels and the L2 bidder, that is GRSC, gets to construct 4 vessels. The way things are moving, this contract is likely to be completed during the current financial year, and the order value is likely to be tuned of around 3,000 to 3,200 crores. What I'm trying to convey is that while on one side we are executing the current order book, on the other side, there is a steady filling up of the gap generated in the order book through execution. So this 3,200 crores plus what we are going to execute during the current year, we is likely to ensure that we maintain an order book position of around 23,524,000 crores at the end of the current financial year also. As far as the other orders that are on the anvil, one major order that GRSC is eagerly looking forward to is that of the next generation corvettes. The Defense Acquisition Council has already given an approval of necessity for this project of Indian Navy, and this is a high-value project costing almost 36,000 crores, and as per our current estimate, the RFP for this particular project is likely to be released by the Indian Navy by end of calendar year 23 or early 2024. In addition, as per our understanding and appreciation, this is an 8-ship project with 2 shipyards, 5 and 3. One ship, the L1 shipyard will get to build 5 ships. The second shipyard will get to build 3 ships. So with GRSC's experience in building and delivering corvettes, this is the next generation corvette. So with GRSC's experience in building and delivering corvettes, or with our experience, expertise, and resources available, our bidding strategy, I'm sure, will be appropriate to ensure that we stand a very good chance in winning this bid. In addition to the next generation corvette, Indian Navy has also got a project, a high-value project of landing platform docks. Here, the RFP again is likely to be released in 2024. In addition, the Navy is also looking forward to constructing 20 follow-on water jet FACs. In case of water jet FACs, as some of you may be aware, GRSC has got a history of delivering the maximum number of FPV stroke water jet FAC, both belong to the same class, 30 plus of these vessels to both Indian Navy and Indian Coast Guard. So similar to the next generation corvettes, when we be pitching in for this also, our strategy would be appropriate to give adequate competition to our contemporary shipyards. In addition to these 3 projects for the Indian Navy, the Indian Coast Guard has got a couple of projects that are likely to come up in the near future. There is a project for which the RFP is likely to be issued by the end of this calendar year. That means either this month and or the next month for 14 fast patrol vessels. The order value is likely to be the tune of around 1,500 to 2,000 crores. And also, the Indian Coast Guard is likely to come out with an RFP next year for 18 next generation fast patrol vessels. So this in nutshell gives you an overview as to what is on the anvil. This covers the shipbuilding segment. As far as ship repairs are concerned, again, as I said, stated during an earlier investor con call, we have taken over 3 dry docks and long-term lease bases from the Kolkata Port Trust. And as of now, all these 3 dry docks are being extensively used for ship repair-related activities. So our intent of taking over these dry docks was to give an impetus to ship repairs, another vertical now JRSC is looking very seriously. While we have taken over this facility just about 11 months back, the results so far have been encouraging, and we have almost had 100% occupancy of this dock, and we have won bids of Indian Coast Guard for conductor of refits of their ship, and also a few commercial vessels where we are undertaking the dry docking and repairs. So this is an area which our shipyard will be focusing on in the coming years. In addition to ship repairs, our diversified segments include the Bailey Bridges division. As you may be aware that GRC today has around 65 to 70% of the Indian market in Bailey Bridges, that is portable steel bridges. We have concluded an MOU with the Border Roads Organization for delivery of a particular type of modular bridges for which we have proprietary rights as an IPR of the shipyard. And this will give us an edge in getting more orders from the potential customers, that is the Indian Army and the Border Roads Organization. Coming to the diesel engine plant, we have a diesel engine plant at Ranchi where we have a license agreement with MTU Germany, and based on this license agreement, we are we have the facility and the capability to assemble the MTU make diesel engine and conduct the trials and acceptance. On this segment, we expect orders from the Indian Navy for their projects where medium and small size diesel engines are involved. In addition, this particular unit, that is the diesel engine plant, has got an order for delivery of 28 diesel alternators for the P-17 Alpha projects being executed by both Mazagon Dock and our shipyard, that is GRSV. And we also have another unit that manufactures and supplies deck machinery for the ships being built by GRSC and also by the other shipyards. So on all these fronts, that is on the shipbuilding segment, which is definitely our major revenue earner, along with the daily bridges, the ship repairs, the deck machinery, and the diesel engine verticals, we are very confident of having a growth trajectory in the coming years that will be very, very encouraging for you, the investors. I have finished and open for questions, and the moderator can take up.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Venkatesh Subramanian from Logic Tree Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. I have 2 questions, sir. One is on the last item that you mentioned on various other stuff like ship repair and steel bridges, etc. All these units put together, say over a period of 3 years from now, sir, what can be the approximate top line that you would envision on these projects? That's my first question. And the second question is on the 36,000 crore RFP on next generation corvettes. As L2 beta, we'll get, my sense is we'll get three orders for three vessels. And what could be the value of that, sir, broadly?
Thank you, Mr. Venkatesh. I'll answer your second question first. While my mind is calculating what is that 6,000 into 3 by 8. So
right.
That comes to, once again, around 13,500 crores. But let me tell you, we are not looking at being L2. Finally, it's on how we bid and how our other more as to how our competitors are going to bid. But on a very serious note, we are not looking at L2 for this project at all. But to answer your question, if you become L1, the value that is going to be accrued from this project is around 22,500 crores, and if it is L2, around 13,500 crores.
22,000. Okay, sir. Great. And the second one was on the 3,000 crore order, sir.
So the 3,000 crore order, 3,000 to 3,200 crore order, this was a project where the bid was opened end of February this year, where this is, of course, between the tender, was the participants were all the shipyards, all the five of us, that is the four public sector ship, DPSUs, then L&T, the Cochin Shipyard, and so on. So we have become L2, and as per the tender conditions, seven of the ships go to the L1, that is the lower shipyard, and the four ships come to us. So right now the project is at the negotiation stage between the bidders, the winning bidders, and the Indian Navy. And as per the indications go, the contract is likely to be signed by during this financial year. So that will give us an order book value of around 3,000 to 3,200.
So you're saying 3,200 for approximately four vessels, sir?
Yeah, that's correct. Four vessels, approximately 3,200 crores.
Okay, so that's 800 per one. Last quick one. So the 18 next generation patrol vessels, RFP is going to be out next year, you said. What would be the value of that, sir?
The 18 next generation vessels, which the Coast Guard RFP is likely to come out next year. At this moment, I can only give you an indicative figure. This, in my appreciation, it could be around 3,000 crores, that's all.
But is it 8,000 crores, sir?
3,000 crores. It's these vessels are actually small vessels.
Okay, yeah. And so on these small vessels, the execution time frame is usually shorter?
Yes, definitely. The execution time of any warship depends upon, one, the price, and second, the complexity.
Right.
Now, when we are speaking about complexity, complexity depends upon the kind of weapon and sensor fit on the ship.
Okay.
These fast patrol vessels are compact vessels with, let us say, a heavily dense population of equipment and systems. So while the size is small, the complexity is definitely not as small as it sounds, though it's called a FPV and so on. Since you asked that question, for a conventional fast patrol vessel. Presently I'm executing an order for a fast patrol vessel for the Indian Coast Guard. The build period is 20 to 24 months. So from the time the design is frozen, it takes around 2 years for a ship, for the first ship of a class to be delivered. And from then on, we can deliver a ship of this particular type around a ship for 3 months thereafter.
Got it, sir. Got it. Great. Thank you, sir. The question on the other four business divisions of ship repair, steel bridges, etc. Broadly, if you can give us over a three-year period, if we some sort of a guidance where we could be, sir.
Okay. As I mentioned when I started, that our primary job is, and the focus is on shipbuilding, and within shipbuilding, it's on warship building, and since we are a defense public sector shipyard, our focus and aim would be to provide quality warships to the Indian Navy and the Indian Coast Guard as per their expectations. Now, keeping that as our primary role, we also have ventured into, as you are aware, this kind of diversification in India at this juncture only we have. So with this kind of diversification, as I had stated earlier, there are four verticals which we have pursued. One is the Bailey Bridges segment. While on one side I stated that we have around 65 to 70% of the market share of Bailey Bridges, what you must appreciate is that the overall market in India itself is limited.
Okay. Right.
Now, with our new products, that is the modular type of bridges, and with a certain amount of aggressive marketing strategy that we have taken, there is an improvement. Actually, our turnover in the Bailey Bridges division, though, is very, very minuscule. It has doubled in the last 3 years.
Okay.
So this is an area where I expect a maximum or twofold increase in the next 3 years.
Twofold.
Coming to ship repairs. Ship repairs, there are shipyards who have got an edge over us in terms of experience in ship repairs. They have been focusing on ship repairs for the last 10 to 15 to 20 years. We have taken this as a serious vertical from the last year onwards. And I had mentioned that we have taken over three dry docks to specifically give an impetus to ship repairs. Again, in this field, we have started in a modest fashion, but this is an area where opportunities are galore because the Navy and the Coast Guard have definite needs to carry out repairs of the ship on a periodic basis. So at this juncture, I will not be able to put a figure to what the expectations are, but I can assure you, maybe what I would suggest is a year down the line, let us see where we stand. We started in a very modest fashion. Let us stabilize, and this is the focus area where the management complete focus is there, and I expect a steep growth in this segment in the coming 3 years.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. I'll join the queue, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Venkatesh.
We have a next question from the line of Rohit Natarajan from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. So, one of your competitors was talking about some landing platform dock orders in the near term, plus there is a possibility that P-17A can, repeat of P-17A can also be thought about in near to medium term. Any color on these aspects, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Rohit. The color as of now is gray. both these projects, see, Navy has come out with an RFI for the landing platform dock sometime earlier. After that, it has not really taken off. But the fact is that Navy has requirement for landing platform dock, and as per our appreciation, the RFQ for two landing platform docks is expected to come out by 2024. That is the appreciation. And this definitely is going to be a high-value order. And yes, the competitors in this field are our sister shipyards only. And as far as the P-17 project, now the P-17 Alpha project that we are currently executing is for seven shipyards, both MDL and GRSC. MDL is constructing four of these ships and GRSC is building two ships. As per the current execution plan, these ships are likely to be delivered by FY27, that is mid the third quarter of 2026. So that is the time when this project will reach a closure. So Navy definitely has plans to go in for a follow-on of the ship, but that is still in discussion stage. So if Navy decides to go for a follow-on or more numbers of this, the clarity on this will emerge sometime, in my appreciation, only during 2024.
Okay. So my second question is more to do with the margins front. On one side, we know that 1.5% is the physical execution progress that is done at each ship unit's level. But the margin, how does that get translated? As in, is there any, you know, lumpiness when there are more brought out items, say, let's something it goes into outfitting or advanced outfitting stage? How does that really shape up? Can you give some color on it?
Okay, I'll give you a brief intro on the shipbuilding process so that will put things in the right perspective. Now, shipbuilding starts with the preparatory activities, that is the design stage, where once the preparatory activities are progressed before the actual construction of the ship starts. That is the stage when the design of the ship is finalized, the equipment are finalized, and based on the equipment finalization, orders are placed on prospective OEMs for the equipment. Once this project process is completed, along with procurement of steel, then starts, based on the design, the construction. And the construction starts with the plate cutting and the block fabrication, then the block erection. And at this stage, the equipment which have already been ordered start coming in. These are lowered and the outfitting starts. Once the ship reaches a completeness in terms of hull form, that particular ship is launched onto the water where the floatworthiness of the ship is checked, and thereafter the outfitting goes in full flow. And once the outfitting gets completed, the trials progress, leading to acceptance of the ship after the concerned sea trials, that's the harbor and sea trials. This in a nutshell gives you an overview of the four phases of ship construction. Now, steel forms, if you're looking at the overall percentage in terms of cost, around 5% of a ship's cost. If you're looking at the ship construction in its entirety, the hull, along with the basic fittings, carry around 18% of a ship's over. If you're taking a ship as 100%, carries around 18%. Now, in the initial stages of ship construction, the progress will be around 1 to 1.5%. After that, when the equipment starts getting lowered, the progress increases. Then a stage will come when the equipment gets integrated to the ship and the systems get buttoned up. So there will be a stage in every ship's construction where the progress leaps from 1 to 1.5% to 2 to 2.5% depending upon the size of the ship. I'll give you an example. In case of a fast patrol vessel, it's a small ship. Initially, the progress is to the tune, since the ship is small, 1 to 1.5%, then it leapfrogs to around 3%. There are stages when the ship per month gives around 7% of physical progress. In case of a big ship, we may not be able to touch 7%, but at times it touches 3%. Now, translating it into VOP, that is a revenue from operations or the value of production, is easy. The value of production is when the equipment and the systems along with the labor gets pumped into a ship's construction. Now, you cannot compare this with the profit. They're completely different. Profit is dependent on a variety of factors ranging from the equipment procurement process, the revenue expenditure, the internal efficiencies, and so on. So the physical progress, since you asked a question about physical progress, where there is a lump of 1 to 1.5%, yes, that is at some stage of the construction, but there will be a stage where it will pick up. And this will happen when the ship touches around 60 to 65%.
Appreciate it, sir. That was quite detailed. Just a follow-up on this part. But when we say win a particular project at, say, 7.5% EBIT margins, we may have some sort of capacity utilization factor in mind. So at that time, do you say we have worked our estimates on maybe, say, 75% of the ship capacity that we have, or 100% of capacity? And if there are margin surprises, it is purely based on that incremental capacity utilization. Is that the way, right way to understand how the margin surprises come from?
See, capacity utilization is based on the resources and infrastructure that we have. So as I don't know whether it has been brought out earlier or not, but I'll just again clarify. Our capacity for ship construction at this juncture is around a construction of 20 warships at a time. Now, again, this in reality translates to much more, because when a project is executed, let us say a four-ship project, all four ships will not be at the same phase of construction at every point of time, which means if the first ship is at outfitting stage, the second ship will be at the pre-launch stage, and the third and fourth ships will be at some other stages of construction. So in our case, let us specifically talk about GRFP at this juncture. If I'm speaking about the P-17 Alpha project, the first and second ships are already in the outfitting stage. Only the third ship is at the pre-launch stage. So as far as capacity is concerned, it has got no constraint. We have got no constraint at all. And another aspect, what you may like to notice is that we have gone in for, as I mentioned, 3 dry docks. We have hired on a long-term basis from KOPP. And in addition to that, we have gone in for a PPP model with 2 of the shipyards, one based in Kolkata and one in the eastern front, where part construction of some of our ships are in progress. So the resources which are captive within our campus is certainly not a constraint for executing concurrent projects. What I'm trying to convey is capacity is not a constraint.
Absolutely appreciate your answer, sir. That was quite helpful. I look forward for more questions. I'll get back into queue. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rohit.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure management is able to answer queries from all participants, kindly restrict your questions to 2 at a time. We have our next question from the line of Bharat Mani from Money Bee Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. So I just wanted to know the physical execution progress monthly for P-17 Alpha and survey vessels and the ASWs. So I just want to know, is it different from 0 to 40 and 40 to 67? Revenue booking is the most, and then from 60 to the next level?
Thank you, Mr. Bharat. If I just take the piece project, the first ship has achieved 43%, the second ship is around 35%, and the third ship is around 16%. Now, the physical progress from, let us say, 0 to 20, on a conventional note, we get around 1 to 1.5% per month. Then it starts getting picked, the speed picks up and we get around 2%. The rate at which the growth is accelerated is during a phase when the ship has touched around 60% of construction, where majority of the equipment would have been already lowered, and the integration and the setting to work of the system start, which means the percentage progress, monthly percentage progress increases when the ship is at a phase where it is between 60 and 80. If we just bring it down to a smaller ship, size ship, then if you're taking, let us say, a fast patrol vessel in the first 0 to 15% starts with around 2% per month, and then it picks up maybe around 2.5% between 15 to 40% and 3 to 3.5%. And there will be one phase when the equipment trials are actually in progress, it touches around 6.5 to 7%. But on a serious note, the monthly progress is definitely good to monitor. It is required to be monitored. But what we actually look at is the milestone. The major milestones in the ship construction are, one, the plate cutting, where we start the production. Next is the keel laying, when the blocks which get manufactured at various locations get lowered onto the building berth or building dry dock. And once they get consolidated, the next milestone that we look at is the launch of the ship. The next milestone is basin trials. So on a serious note, we should not be really looking at monthly progress, 0.5 or 0.7. It's good to understand, but it doesn't matter. What we must look at is the launch, then the launch to trials and delivery.
So the second P-17 Alpha, so what is the expected delivery of that one?
The second P-17 Alpha is, as of now, it is expected to be delivered during the last quarter of the financial year FY26.
Okay.
Between Jan and March 2026.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the survey vessel number 3 and 4, the delivery of those two ships?
See, survey vessel, the first two ships are planned to be delivered during 2023, and the last two ships are planned to be delivered during calendar year 2024.
Okay. So in a shipbuilding process, there are, I guess, 15 milestone payments. So, what is the duration of this payment?
See, it is more to do with the stages than the duration. It starts with there is a payment which is on signing of contract for the 10% for the preparatory activities and the design related aspects, and then there is a 10% payment for placement of orders for various equipment and provision of the plan for construction of the ship, and so on. Then there is then at various milestones, let us say one would be for so many 40%. I'm just giving one say 40% of physical construction, you get a stage payment. For launch, you get a stage payment. Conduct a basin trial, you get a stage payment. 85% of construction, you get a stage payment. Leading to stage 14 will be a stage when the ship is finally delivered to the customer. And the stage 15 is when the ship completes a guarantee period. That is 1 year guarantee period. That is when our 5% payment is released. So this comprises in a nutshell the 100% payment staggered over 15 levels, 1 to 15.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Abhineet Anand from MK Global Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to understand that you indicated that by F27, all these 23,000 odd crore order book will be completed. Is it right, sir?
Yes, the existing order book. I am not including the order which is likely to come for the, what I had mentioned also about an order which is likely to come for the next generation ocean going patrol vessel. Excluding that, the current order book, as per our execution plan, the execution period is FY27. Correct, you're right.
So it's very broadly, can you just make us understand that, you know, because from now till 27 is like 5 years, right? So over the next 3 years, what would be, you know, the broader execution? Okay, in terms of broader revenue, I'm not saying in guidance, but just maybe ballpark.
I will rather talk in terms of delivery of ships in this.
Our understanding on ships would be far.
Okay, I'll give you reasonable input for you to extrapolate.
Sure, sure.
In this ship, we already completed the first half. We are at 1,252 crores. As I mentioned, the progress of production of the various ships is satisfactory. And two of these projects, of course, they are small projects. We intend completing this year. So I'll put it in a different fashion so you get a better confidence. See, our current order book remaining is 22,933 crores. And I have also stated that as per the current execution plan, the order will be exhausted by 2027. If I keep the next generation OPV completely out of the figure, in the next 5 years, that is 22,930 divided by 5 works out to around 4,586 crores. So this is for you to extrapolate or calculate. There could be financial years where the revenue could be more than that. There will be financial years where it will be less than that, depending upon the stage of construction of the ship. But it will definitely not be uniform. Just to give you reassurance, which I have been stating repeatedly in the last two investors' phone call also, is that as per our appreciation and considering the physical progress of construction of the ships, because that is what is directly linked to payments, revenue recognition. Considering both these aspects, the current year, last year our turnover was 1,758. So when I finished the last financial year, when we were discussing the results, we have stated that the next 3 years, that is FY23, 24, and 25, will be the best in terms of revenue recognition for the shipyard. So I have given you both the perspectives. I have mentioned what is the total order book, also stated what is our plan for execution. So I have even gone to the extent of dividing and telling you what, and also given you an assurance that this year, next year, and next year will be the growth will be steady, with perhaps FY 25 or 26 being peak years.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Shalini Gupta from East India Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, I had two very basic questions, sir. If I understood correct, the revenue per ship that you make is about 700 crores. Am I right?
Ma'am, good afternoon, Shalini. But it varies from project to project. I'm not sure which project you're talking about.
I'm just trying to get a ballpark figure because just for my projections. So is it correct between, say, 500 to 700, would I be correct?
No, ma'am. I'll put you in the right perspective. See, our current order book is 22,930 crores. Of this, around 14,997 crores pertain to the P7 Alpha project for 3 ships. So that comes to balance around 5,000 crores per that ship. If I'm taking the anti-submarine shallow water craft, 5,821 crores are still remaining for execution. Divided by 8, that comes to almost around 725 crores per ship remaining. In case of survey vessels, 4 ships, 1,600 crores remaining. That means around 400 crores are remaining. In case of the FPV, fast patrol vessel, 23 crores are remaining, one ship. So it depends upon the size of the ship and the order value. Have you on the same page?
I'll listen to the conference call again. If I have another more questions, I'll probably send you a mail or something. I'm just trying to understand how I should build my projections. So my second question is that what kind of EBITDA margin should we take? Because you were explaining how you arrive at your EBITDA margin. But, I mean, it will be very difficult for me to calculate the kind of EBITDA margins you may arrive at. So would it be correct to say your EBITDA margins will be somewhere around 17% to 18%? Will I be correct?
Right now, our EBITDA margin are around 12.7% to 13%. So, we considering our current order book, the margins at which we have bid and won the project, the EBITDA margins what we anticipate is in the coming years is to be steady, more or less steady around this range, at least 12% to 13%.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir. On good set of numbers. On the Alpha Fig as part of the order, I just want to know what is the original order value of these 3 frigates that we are making?
Okay, the 3 frigates that we are making, the order value, the total order value is 19,293 crores and the remaining order value is 14,997 crores.
So roughly around 15,000 crores, right?
Yeah, roughly around 15,000 crores.
Okay, and the original value is around 19,296 crores, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah, okay, this confirmation I get. Second is, sir, if things there have been news that there are a lot of ships which are actually due for a maintenance and we are also into the maintenance contract part of it. So can you give us some idea about on that part of the business, as in where the ship has to be, you know, gone for maintenance for maybe once every 2 years or such? So if you...
I'll answer this question. Both the Navy and Coast Guard have ships which get periodically repaired. It's called refit and repairs. So based on the when the ship is built, an operational come refit cycle is formed where the maintenance routines of the ships are decided and periodically the ship goes, let us say, every 2 years for a short refit and dry docking to check the underwater package and so on. And every 5 years, the ship goes for a major refit. Now, for undertaking these refits and repairs, the Indian Navy has got the Naval Repair Organization. But considering the range and scale of the ships that the Navy possesses, the yards are the repair yards, Naval Repair Organizations are bursting at their speed, which means they have capacity constraints. when they have such capacity constraints, they outsource these refits to capable shipyards. Now, Coast Guard, on the other front, they do not have the similar repair or setup like the Indian Navy. What I'm trying to convey is that every Indian Coast Guard ship goes for refit and repairs to outside shipyards and private firms. So, akin to Navy, these refits and repairs come for a short duration every 2 years and for a longer duration every 5 to 6 years. So the opportunities available in this, on this front, both with the Navy having capacity constraint and with the Coast Guard currently not having any captive repair organization, is huge. It is specifically with this intent that we have ventured into this ship repair segment in a reasonably aggressive fashion. And towards this, as I had mentioned, we have taken over 3 dry docks in the Jataka Port Trust. And we have already executed 5 projects for the Indian Coast Guard, including 2 major refits and 3 minor refits over the last 1 to 1.5 years. We are currently also, as on date also, we are executing a project for the Indian Coast Guard refit, and we have one more ship coming in for refit in the next year. So to answer your question, yes, both the Indian Navy and the Indian Coast Guard have a methodology wherein maintenance is carried out in a periodic manner, and as a business entity, we have huge opportunity in this segment.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Venkatesh Subramanian from Logic Tree Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so actually my questions have broadly been answered, but just a quick reconfirmation. So FY 23, 24, 25 are the peak years for the execution. So is that right, sir? Just reconfirming.
FY 23, 24, 25, no, I'll add on FY 26 also, that the peak could touch during FY 25 or 26. Considering our delivery schedule and with the order book planned to be executed by FY 27. So if you're looking at 23, 24, 25, what I can assure you is that the revenue growth will be on an upward, a steady upward trajectory, with either 25 or 26 being the peak years.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Swecha from ANS Wealth. Please go ahead. Swecha, can you please unmute your line? Since there is no response from a line, we'll take the next question from Sumit Chandwani from Arth Equity Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Sure, I can hear you.
Yeah, so sir, how do you protect your margins if most of these are fixed price contracts? Can you give us some idea on how do you protect your margins, and these are 3-4 year projects?
Okay, thank you, Sumit. Very interesting question. Now, there was an era much before we are listed maybe 10 years back when the shipyards were having contracts that were cost-plus contracts. Then came an era of nomination contracts. And now we are at a very, very interesting phase where we have all the contracts on competitive bidding phase. And let me give you confidence and assurance that the transformation of the shipyard from first the cost-plus era to nomination, of course it is tough. And from nomination to fixed cost and competitive has been successful and smooth. Now, how do we, since we're going for a competitive bidding along with our counterparts, the other shipyards, naturally, the bids are absolutely competitive, the margins are thin. Now, how do we maintain the margin? See, over a period of time, all our production processes have been revamped. We have brought in automation. See, shipbuilding, you may appreciate that, unlike any other manufacturing industry, is labor-intensive. But even in this segment, we have brought in measures to optimize areas that are practically feasible to be optimized. We have cut down our revenue expenditure by rationalization of a large amount of cross-spend systems. And our focus as a business strategy our non-core activities are outsourced. So we keep our captive manpower only for core activities, core production shipbuilding activities. With all these measures, we have been able to maintain the margins, the level what we are taking.
Yes, sir, my question is more around equipment and material costs. So, you know, we've seen steel prices fluctuate a lot this year. So how do you, and steel is a big component of
I'll answer this question.
And similarly, foreign currency risk, you have a lot of imported equipment. How do you hedge that? If you can give us some color on your procurement policies,
yes,
hedging policies, that'll be great.
Okay, both the questions I will answer. Both of them are related to equipment and systems procurement. Now, in a shipbuilding project, as you may now be aware, that the equipment and systems cost almost 60 to 65% of the project cost, and all these projects are fixed price contract projects. And these projects, both the 17 Alpha, the I'm only speaking about the major key projects which contribute the majority of our major chunks of our order. All these contracts have been concluded before the financial year 2019. These are fixed price contracts, and since these contracts have been concluded before FY19, all our equipment orders have been placed well in advance. That means well before the market fluctuations started, first because of the COVID and because of the current situation. So, like we have fixed price contracts from our customers, all our contracts with our equipment manufacturers and major contractors are on a fixed term, fixed cost base. So what I'm trying to convey, there is no impact with respect to the price fluctuation. Now, a small component, that is, not the equipment, not the major systems, but the yard material. We call that as yard material, which mostly comprised of steel and certain fasteners and insulation and so on. That comprises only a very minuscule scale of the overall project. Even within this steel, we have an understanding, a memorandum of understanding with another PSU, that is the Steel Authority of India, where reasonable amount of protection is there against the variation. Coming to the balance material, which comes to, if you're looking at the overall project cost, comes to around 5%, that is the yard material, less steel. Yes, there have been fluctuations, there have been impact, because many of these are supplied by the MSME vendors, and there have been escalations. But if you're looking at the overall perspective, the impact is minimal. Coming to the ERV, the project, the key projects, there is the P-17 Alpha, and the survey vessel project, they are protected against the ERV because the ERV variation clause is existing in the contract with the customer. So there is no impact with respect to that with this project.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Prabir Adhikari from Ratnabali Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. So, I have a couple of questions. The first question is, sir, I want to understand something about this shipbuilding phases. Like you said that it starts from plate cutting to the delivery phases. As most of the equipment has bought out components, so can you please give us a sense that at different phases, what should be the gross margin?
Could you just repeat the question once again?
Yeah, I'm saying that shipbuilding happens normally in phases, like from plate cutting to the delivery each stage, and most of the equipment that you install there in the ship bought out components. So this must be that your gross margin also fluctuates. So can you please explain, like, you know, what could be the gross margin that happens in every phases?
We are currently executing multiple projects. Like I just in my introductory remarks, I mentioned that we are building 15 ships for the Indian Navy itself, and all these ships are at various stages of construction. If you look at holistically in shipbuilding, the conservative optimal profit margin is hovering around 7 to 7.5%. To give you again a further understanding on the shipbuilding cycle, as you rightly said, Before plate cutting, of course, I'll add another phase where the preparatory activities are included, then the plate cutting, then the block, that the panel fabrication, block fabrication, and the block assembly, which happens in the dry dock, equipment, what have been ordered, start coming in during this phase, which is lowered on board, then starts the integration, then the launch, then the outfitting, final outfitting, and the trials and acceptance. Now, if you are taking a shipyard, now when we are looking at the gross margins, you should look at from a holistic perspective as a shipyard. Now, I have got 7 projects currently being executed, shipbuilding projects. All of them are at various stages of production. Some ships at the final stage, some ships at the preparatory phase. So, again, as I mentioned, the margin, the overall margin for shipbuilding project was around 7 to 7.5%. Now, how do we take it beyond this 7 to 7.5% is where the challenge is. That is where, answering to a previous question, I had mentioned that we have gone through a slew of measures, starting from automation to the extent feasible, manpower rationalization, resources utilization, adopting to PPP, outsourcing, and that's how we have been able to maintain margins above. Thank you.
So is that my understanding is right, that this 7% of EBITDA margin for the current quarter can go up to around 12 to 13% in
each month? I'll put it, the current EBITDA margin for the current quarter is 12.16%. It is not 7%, 7, 8, and our PAT margin itself is 8.11% for the half year ended 30th. So I'm talking about the PAT margin. The PAT margin itself is plus 8%. The EBITDA margin, and again answering to your previous question, I have mentioned that our EBITDA margins have been hovering between 12.5 to rather 12 to 13%, and we'll be able to maintain this in the coming days and years too.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask you about, so in our balance sheet, right, so we get good amount of money as an advance for the project execution, right? So it would be a request from my side that if you could show the amount received as advance separately from the cash and cash equivalent that we are actually generating from our internal accrual. You know, because it's kind of misleading, because we cannot use that entire cash, because it's kind of an advance from customers, as in your clients, right? So we want, so in order to calculate the free cash flow in a better way, right, and to find out the closing free cash flow, as in cash and cash equivalent, it would be better if the advance from customer and the amount you hold in your account, which you are free to use, is shown separately.
Just I'm direct to finance. First of all, I want to tell this thing. The money what we are showing, it is not advance. Because in shipbuilding projects, whenever we have submitted our quote, we have not taken financing costs.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. You're not clearly audible, sir.
Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So that what we don't have any financing cost, because our contract is made such a manner, our working capital is financed by the customer. So that means whenever we are attending a particular stage of completion, or we are attending a particular milestone, at that time we are getting money. So first I want to clear, it is not an advance. Second thing I want to tell that, you think that whatever our balance sheet we are showing our items, it is not in our own how to show. You know that it is already as per our whatever prescribed by in the company act, as per that we are showing our items. So in this case, whatever money we are getting, it is coming to our account. The cash what I'm showing, it is my cash as well as customer cash. I don't have a separate bank account to show separately my accrual and customer. It can be calculated from the balance sheet itself. A financial analyst can make out how much is own cash and how much is also customer cash. Because everything in the liability side, we are also showing that advance from the customer, we are showing whatever we have got money. In the asset side also, which is utilization in form of receivable, which is in form of also inventory, that is also we are showing. So there is no scope to show the own money and also customer money separately.
Okay, once again, I would like to reiterate that this question we have been hearing often in the shipbuilding projects. As per the existing contract, there is the competitive advance is not there. There are also the various stage payments to meet the various project requirements.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Abhineet Anand from MK Global Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, you on the project orders on the anvil, you had first you had mentioned this, 11 next generation also. So, who is the L1 here, sir?
L1 is it's open now. So, L1 is Goa Shipyard.
Okay. And the three Navy, orders that you mentioned, one obviously, Corbett one you said, that RFP will be likely in FY23 or early 24. So when can we, expect this contract to come up?
See, this contract, as per the current progress or what we have seen, whatever our experience based on the earlier RFPs and the contract conclusion. If the RFP is coming out, let us take a conservative period of 2024 beginning, then the contract will be concluded, is likely to be concluded in the first quarter of FY26.
Thank you. We have a last question from the line of Praveer Adhikari from Ratnabali Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question once again. So, I want to understand this execution cycle of ASWC. These ships are smaller and the order size is roughly around 700 to 800 crores. And also the launch date was around 22 to 23, something like that. So is my understanding correct that you can execute as this already started and launch date is there? So you can execute that all the five ships by 2024 or 5?
Okay, these, as you rightly said, these ships are smaller in size, but they are complex ships because these are pure weapon platforms. Despite the size of a ship being small, if the weapon intensity is high, the complexity of shipbuilding is equally high. Now, coming to these eight ships, we intend launching the first ship. The first ship has already reached launch stage. The first ship is intended to be launched the next month. I mean, we are as close as 1 month away from launch of the first ship. As per the execution plan, this project is planned to be completed. The eight ships, the delivery is planned to be completed by end of 2026.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to Commodore P.R. Hari for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashishri. Before I give my closing remarks, I'd like to highlight one aspect to the investors. Very interesting questions we had today, with a few of them hovering around the margins. While we have endeavored to answer all these questions, what I would like to highlight and reiterate that our revenues have gone up and net worth has gone up. As a matter of fact, our net worth has gone up to 1,360 crores from 1,257 crores at the end of last year. Our earnings per share has gone up, return on investment has gone up, market capitalization, another interesting aspect, it has gone up by 400%. While this reflects the confidence of investors in the shipyard, what I would like to reiterate is that we are fully conscious about your expectations and all efforts to be put in to match your expectations. With that, let me once again thank Yashasri and thank you, Gaurav, from Concert IR for organizing this conference call. I would like to pay my sincere gratitude to all my analysts and investor friends who have taken time out of their busy schedule to listen to us today. If you have any further questions, I would request all of you to please get in touch with us and we'll be happy to address them all. Thank you once again. Jai Hind.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Garden Reach Shipbuilders and Engineers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.